come to the end of number 10. But Lhotse in number 10, at the very end of his sutra, he gives us a conclusion to this sutra. And it can only be comprehended by a person who has honored the feminine, that has allowed for the feminine to take them into understanding, a profound sense of understanding that is not argumentative or is seeking to be, shall we say, difficult. Difficult in the form of bringing us back to the things that are less important than virtue. That is self-righteousness, self-preservation. Lhotse ends this beautiful little sutra with these words. To give birth to them and nourish them, carry them without taking possession of them. Care for them without subduing them. Rise and live. Live with them, steering them, but not telling them. This is the greatest virtue. What does he mean? Not taking credit, not dominating, not possessing. This is what Lhotse calls doing without doing. You're not trying to overcome someone or people in general. You're understanding what it means to be open to all things. There are many different ways to reach people. In my years of session work, I have found it is very, very, very important not to try to get through to a person what it is that I think is most important to help them, but to help them realize they have options and that people are going to go towards the events or the insights, the circumstances at their own level. And some work at a higher level than others. Why? They have accumulated more futility and understand what futility means. That has opened up the door to the wisdom of the feminine. You see, in the feminine nature, not gender, nature, a person starts to realize they have more awareness than they have knowledge. And when awareness becomes their knowledge, that's when something beautiful begins to emerge. Instead of living literally, we live for the great rebirth. We live and act in no thing, giving birth and nourishing the state of our being. We do this through silence, compassion. You see, when you really start getting the way, when you really start opening up to that feminine nature in you, you're going to find not just knowledge. There won't be knowledge. There'll be insights. There'll be different intents. You will have a different intent for everything you do. But I'll tell you what will really, really occur. You will find an immense sense of kindness overwhelming you, overwhelming your cunningness, the human stain in us, cleansing what Lhotse called the primal vision, the human nature of us. We will become supple, like a newborn babe, as he talks about it. It is very, very important to understand this. You will have room for those who are wise. You will have room for those who are smart. And you will have room for those who are just basically ignorant, willful. You will understand. You will understand beyond the confines of your genetic nature, your DNA. You will understand beyond the body. You will understand. And you won't try to subdue these people, take credit for whatever in their lives. You will lend wisdom to them, but you won't seek to dominate them in self-righteousness. This is what Lhotse calls the primal virtue, where we no longer are living from the primal instincts, but rather from virtue, from the goodness of our nature, of our authentic nature. But to do this, to get to this place, you must have a great respect for that quiet, still, small voice within you. It is always teaching us. It is the alternative to our harshness, our cunning. This breath, this quiet breath that lives within you is from the other shore. And should you be willing to take a deep breath in it and really understand the beauty of it from that point of view, you will find a tremendous sense of awakening. Again, the awakening will be that you become immensely kind, patient. To do nothing and yet to do everything through nothingness. Let me tell you a little story from Fuzhe, who I feel was a tremendous master. There was a man who had wandered long and far for the wisdom of immortality. He had heard of the way of heaven and expounded by many wise men, but it disturbed him because what each wise man would say would be in contradiction to the other. There are those who teach methods of resisting evil, he said, to the point of dealing instant death in response to evil. He said there are those who teach non-resistance to evil, to the point of accepting one's own death at the hands of evil. Yet the principles and methods of both seem right to my ears. As he went on talking to Fuzhe, he said, there are those who teach denial of desires of the body, and there are those who teach the beauty of the body and its desires. And yet, both teachings seem correct to my understanding. There are those who teach that one must isolate himself from other men in order to find wisdom and immortality. And there are those who teach that wisdom and immortality can be found only through one's relationship with others. Yet both ways seem reasonable to my heart as they are taught. So he looked to Fuzhe and he said, Can you resolve these contradictions for me? Now, I highly doubt that he was there for that manner. I think what he really wanted was to see if Fuzhe could give him another philosophy, another ideology. But he didn't. Listen, this is his answer. When a room has many doors, A man's search must be for that door that can be unlocked by the key in his possession. Because what matters to him is not the carving on the door, but access to the room that is beyond it. What does this mean to you? Exactly what Lhotse is talking about in number 10. Everybody is here in this lifetime for various purposes, various conclusions, various assumptions that we have come to. Each person that comes to me with a different reality, a different proportion to what they think of as reality. They see things as oppositions, opposing. One says this, another says that. Some people believe in this, some people believe in that. They both seem okay to me, but I don't understand why there is such separation, such diversity. That's what this man came to Lhotse with. And I have found that in my own work. The reality that you sit and listen to me in right now, you have acquired this through many, many years, long hours of living as you have, living the way you do. So my answer is varied to many people. The trouble with most of us is that what we do is we make it very difficult on ourselves because we believe in what we think, how we have interpreted our life. You are listening to me right now only through how you have interpreted your own life, how you have chosen through apprehension, through cloudy mind, through a muddled heart. You are listening to me through the experience of your biology. You're not listening to me from the place of virtue, nor do you understand virtue. It is not something that is apparent to you, nor even seemingly necessary for you. Most people listen to my offerings out of curiosity. They're listening to see if there's anything there that will ping them, that will make sense to them, that will take possession of them, subduing their difficulties, their arrogance, and steering them in the right direction, as it were. But that is not the way. That is not my intent. Understanding, being open to all things, to realize beyond the confines of a mind that is grasping for something to hold on to, something to believe in, something that one would think would change their life. To do all of this, to think in this way, is to miss the measure of living. Many people came to Lhotse. Many people came to Jesus and Buddha. They would come and listen. They wanted to hear their own language, the language of their ego being taught to them. I use clumsy words to try to reach you. Can you comprehend them? You can understand some of the words, but can you understand the manner of their way, where they are leading you? The ego is very cunning in us. It hears what I am teaching, and then it counteracts it, puts you back in the pattern of your living, the pattern of trying to deduce things from acquiring some sort of salvation, some sort of surrender to a living the mental acuity that is derived out of self-preservation. And for this, then, you will miss words. You will miss the meaning of them. You can only hear so much before you become overwhelmed. This is the way human beings are. If you give the teachings that are provided to you from Lhasa, from Jesus, from Buddha, if you can only hear their words, you will never know their meaning. And for a lot of people, that's okay. But for those of us who that is not our means, we are not here to be the means to the end of some philosophy or religion. We are here to be open to all things in us, nourishing all things, things of virtue, primal virtue over primal instinct. This is the most difficult thing to understand. Our primal instinct is merely to survive for the sake of survival itself, so we may remain the same and not make effort towards anything that is more transcendent. We don't want to transcend. We want to think we're right in the first place and don't need to do anything more than that. If you listen to this man, he was taught by people of resisting evil, not resisting evil, denial of the body and its desires and the acceptance of the body and its desires, whether or not he should go and sit alone away from people so he didn't have their influence in him. He had all sorts of things going on. What do I do here? What do I do there? But what Fuzhou is saying, you can only hear, you can only do, you can only understand from the life you have lived. If you have come to conclusions, if you have come to vanity and pride, if those things are important to you, then that is only the language you will understand, the language of your life. You will think things need to be deserved, not bestowed. A great love can be bestowed upon us. A great goodness can be bestowed upon us. A tremendous virtue can be there. But not if I am seeking answers to questions that are really not questions. Questions of the way, they are the questions of morality, of human instinct. How do I use the instinct of hatred to overcome hatred? The instinct of disgust to overcome the disgusting? How do I do you are using the wrong tools when led that way. When you try to lead people to the light, they resist with all of their being because it is not subservient to the ego. It does not bring about any apparent reward. But when you can hear the great virtue, when you can give birth to the nourishing of love in you, of learning what your bearing in this world, what your responsibility in this lifetime is, but not trying to possess people with it. When you realize it's not about taking credit for what has or has not happened, when you understand what it is to live without dominating others, when you awaken ever so slightly, you will find you are kind. You will find a kindness that exceeds anything you've ever known before. This kindness is love. This is the greatest virtue. Love. I'd like to meditate with you. I'd like to sit with you after a discourse. It is 1:45 a.m. right now where I am. You're asleep. And I can reach you just ever so slightly. I can send you energy. I can love you in the great virtue that both of us possess. So let us meditate on this. From Lhotse: the world can be overturned. To the person who loves all people as he loves himself. Let's keep on that path. To let love